Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys, listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online, can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghoststories. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what was the something unnerving that lurked in a person's house for nearly a decade that made everyone more than just a little uncomfortable?
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show. It's all there for you to binge away on right now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, I'm just sitting here next to my buffet of dog treats because my dog is really old, super picky about what he eats. Uh-huh. And whenever I podcast, it's like he knows that I just give him whatever it takes to get him to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just is constantly coming up and I'm like, here's the one. I don't want that one. No. What else? Here's one. Oh, that one. Yeah. What else you got? It's just this constant. Oh, my God. And like, seriously. You can spend a lot of money on dog treats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot. I am not shitting you. I think on dog treats.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking dog food or anything like that.
Just the treats.
I am spending well over $120 a month on dog treats.
Well, he's enjoying himself.
Right? And he's really, really old, mm-hmm. you know? And so he's in his twilight months, probably.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whatever you want. And so I'll be at Walmart someplace and I'm like, there's all these treats. I'm like, well, we've never tried that one. It's $12 for that one, but oh well. And then I bring it home. He's like, I don't like it. My friend Kyle has so many dog treats at his house. He's like, more?
Yeah.
Okay.
My not usually that treat motivated, but very much like loves his toys and stuff. And the biggest problem that I have is finding a toy that he can't eventually destroy or destroy within 5 minutes. Because that's the thing. My problem is I'll go and get like this, like, oh, he'll love this. It looks like he's not going to get through this. It's like, you know, the $40 toy or something that is supposedly indestructible. It's like, how the hell did you rip that apart already? Like, did you have like a soldering iron or something? Like, were you like welding? Like, how did you get this? I saw you with a welding mask on earlier, Sting. Were you like grinding down metals?
I forgot your dog's name, yeah. Sting.
Like, what the hell were you doing to get this bone torn? And the etching that you did on this thing, it's beautiful. I didn't know you could tattoo things like that. It's amazing what he can do. He's a great tattoo artist, but you can't get him to just stop eating a toy. So
what's funny is my dog has toys that he got. I think his oldest toy is called Ramona. And I think he got that toy about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
I don't think mine is like, one of those like 10 weeks ago.
All of his toys are like old like that. And then I just wash them. And now he just goes and like carries them outside to pee and that's it.
Yeah.
And I have to pick them up.
That's funny how they are with their toys. But no.
I know. Yeah. But what you wouldn't do for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just funny. My dog just knows. Like, he just walks over. He's like, what else you got? Can I try that stuff?
Well, my,
that other one.
My, the Great Pyrenees that live out in the farm area with the cows, there's Negan and there's Morgan. And Negan is the larger one. And he just like goes up to the other dog and just like pushes him down and just stands there on top of him. like Simba or something on the Lion King. It's like, I have more power over you. And he doesn't like sit there and like bite or growl. Just it's just like knocks him down and just like shows like who's boss. And just like then like looks around like, anybody see that shit? Yep. That's the shit I just did, bitches.
Check this out, bitches.
I know. I'm like, my God. And then the cow is like, I want to do that too. It's like, you're a cow. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch this, bitches. Yeah. I might be a cow, but still.
Life on
my farm. It's so funny that you have cows.
I know.
My, how your life has changed since we met.
Yeah, you tell me. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's get our first letter. It says, my entire family agrees that we spent over 20 years living in a house that had something unliving in it. Every single one of us at some point had an experience with something we could not explain. For me, it started almost immediately after we'd moved in when I was somewhere around 3 or 4 years old. Room was at the end of the hallway and from the beginning was always significantly colder than any other room in the house, which was nice in the 100 plus degree Texas summers. Bed was set at the far end of the room directly in front of the closet, and every morning from what felt like months, I'd wake up to the feeling of fingers on my stomach, wiggling as if someone were trying to tickle me. But it was weird and deep, like the fingers were moving through my skin and tickling me on the inside. If I pushed my belly out, they would go deeper, and if I sucked my stomach in, they would retract. They did not seem to follow my body, they were just there. So I sucked it in and waited until it stopped completely before I would get out of bed. Could always move, but was always too afraid of what might happen if I sat up while it was doing their thing. Too young to know that this was unnatural, so I did not tell my family until years after it stopped. Eventually, my family decided to move some of the kids' rooms around, and I was moved to the opposite end of the hallway, which did not have as many phenomena. At some point, both of my siblings took the room at the end of the hall and had their own experiences inside. They've told me that they used to see people in their room at night. For me, I went haunt-free for years until sometime around middle school. Walking down the hallway on my way to the bathroom when I saw a girl standing at the end of the hall in front of the room I used to be tickled in. Could see her so clearly in extreme detail, yet somehow still a little translucent. She was only a few years older than I was, brown hair pulled into a ponytail, tie-dyed shirt and blue jeans. We made eye contact for several seconds and then she was gone. I told my brother about her at some point in my early 20s, and he was pretty shaken up by the mention of her. He says that she was a figure he used to see in his room at night, and she would just sit in the corner of the room by the closet and watch him. Had one other strange experience while I was staying in the semi-unhaunted bedroom. Woke up in the middle of the night, and my body was moving on its own, as if I was sleepwalking, but I was fully awake. Watching and aware of the entire ordeal, I watched myself step out of bed, walk to the foyer, unlock and open the front door. Parents had this large and dramatic reindeer bells ornament hanging from the doorknob as a budget security measure. And it worked because it alerted them of my late night adventure. I distinctly remember them following me outside of the house as my body walked itself into the street. Mom was panicking about injury. My dad was telling her something about not waking sleepwalkers. And I just kept walking. Stood in the street for a few seconds, just looking around before I realized I had no idea where I could go. And suddenly I was back. Whatever was moving me stopped, and I walked back inside with my parents. I remember being incredibly confused, thinking, is this what sleepwalking is? I don't think I was sleeping. I saw the whole thing. But I took their word for it and went back to bed. Otherwise, it was a normal house for me. I never saw anything terrifying, but my siblings both have some intense stories of the people that they used to see in their rooms. We'll share them at some point, but maybe just one sibling at a time, since there's a lot of stories in that house. We have since moved out. Sleepwalking is a scary thing.
And it's freaky.
Yeah.
But I have never sleepwalked.
No?
Sleepwalked. No, and I'm a super light sleeper, but, you know, I got to, as you're telling that story, I'm like, you know, but if you watch someone who's sleepwalking, it's really freaky because they're like possessed in a weird way mm-hmm. or something. And I'm like, but like, I remember my sister coming out of her bedroom and getting a chair out of the kitchen and coming into the living room and putting it right in the middle of the living room and sitting on it, which was a really weird place to sit. And we're all just staring at her like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
And then she got up and did something else really weird, like circles or something. I don't remember what. And then went back to bed. And we're like, oh, my God, she was sleepwalking. But her eyes were open. So could you sleepwalk and know you're doing it and see it like what he or she just described, mm-hmm. but not be able to control it? Like, it's like I'm in a trance and I'm doing this.
I mean, it's,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
because your eyes are open. Could you be in that in between place?
Yeah, where it's like sleep paralysis,
but
you're moving. I
never had thought about that before until.
That's an interesting one. To be conscious of it, of what's going on, but no control.
Control it.
Yeah. That would be scary.
Have you ever done it before?
When I was super little, but I don't remember it. I just remember being told I did it one time. I just walked downstairs and then went back up. But that was, I don't know, it was probably like 6 or 7. But that's the only remote memory I have of it. I couldn't tell you what it felt like or anything.
Because I think when my sister did it, I think we realized, like, she's sleepwalking. Mm-hmm. And I think we were saying, like, hey, Cheryl.
Yeah.
And, like, she never responded to us is why we, because it was like, she just effing with everybody.
Sure.
What is she doing? Because that would be kind of funny just to, like, watch this. But it wasn't that. But it does make me think, because her eyes were open the whole time, that maybe it is kind of like a trance. Maybe you can remember it.
That would be, I don't think I want to remember it if I was doing that. That would be
and
just
take
scary.
Ambien. You'll do all kinds of sleepwalking and never remember.
They suggested that for me not that long ago at the doctor. I'm like, I'll pass. I don't want that one. I'm good.
This guy I used to know, he's like, it's the only way that I sleep. And then he would say, man, I ordered all these Amazon packages the other night.
Yeah. People like go to the grocery store.
Ambien, and I'm like, okay, but you're not sleeping. If you're sitting there ordering shit, that's not sleep.
No, that's like blackout. Drunk. But yeah. You're not drunk. That's just blacked out.
And he said one night he went for a 2-mile walk because he could tell by his Fitbit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that's definitely not sleeping. Like, you can't wake up in the morning and then go, oh, I feel so relaxed.
That's what scares me about that, because I've heard so many stories like that I'm just like, no, I'm a single dad. Like, I can't be like going nuts like that, you know, if that were to have that sort of effect on me, where it's like, where's dad going? Oh, he's just going to the store at 3 a.m. because he's on Ambien. It's like,
yeah, he doesn't know he's going to the store.
He doesn't know.
This should turn out really well for us.
He's taking the 4-wheeler to the and he's going to Fayetteville, which is a couple towns in. Like, yeah, I just know. I'll stick with my melatonin. Maybe I'll take an extra, you know, 5 milligrams or whatever the dosage is of that.
I'll take the Benadryl.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm good. I don't want to. Yeah.
It's just very strange.
Yeah. Back to our conversation in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today, BetterHelp. That's Better, H-E-L-P. These guys have completely redefined the world of getting real, serious, mental health help, counseling, therapy, whatever you want to call it. These guys have made it accessible to anyone and everyone. There is no excuse anymore. If there's something that is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, this is where you need to turn. We all go through tough times in life, and having someone, having that interpersonal dynamic and having someone to talk to. And you can even do it face-to-face through video conference if you want with BetterHelp. You can do it through text. There's all different options for you with BetterHelp. BetterHelp is there for you. They'll assess your needs and then match you with your own licensed professional therapist. So basically, you kind of tell them roughly what's going on, and then they'll go, okay, based on what you're looking for and what we think you need, here's someone that can help you. It's not just here's whoever randomly pops up. It's they match you. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not like traditional therapy where you call, make sure that you're covered by the insurance, and then, oh, well, they'll see you in about 5 months, sir. I've had that happen. It's like, that's not exactly helpful, is it? No. You can start communicating in under 48 hours with BetterHelp. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online. I'm such a huge fan of this. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. That's something else I found over the years. It's available to you worldwide. So you can log into your account anytime, send a message to your therapist, get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video, phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room, as in you do with like traditional therapy. I really, honestly, truly, highly suggest looking into this if you're having something going on in your life and you just, you know, you feel frustrated, you feel stuck, you feel, you know, you just want to talk to somebody, but maybe friends, you know, aren't going to quite understand, family, and you want an outside opinion that can help you, this is where you should look. You can check out all of their reviews. And so it's not just hearing me saying how much I love these guys and how much I think the service is great. Here's just one. It says, Ed is a great listener. Make sure to address all your different concerns. I felt a weight lifted off my shoulders even after just our first couple sessions together. He's non-judgmental and provides perspectives I haven't thought of before. Check out the literally thousands of reviews at betterhelp.com/reviews. Visit betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's better H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Special offer for you guys, listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghost stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another letter. It says, hey guys, I've been listening to your show for around 2 years. I love the show, especially when Harper's on. She's hilarious. Okay, so I've experienced multiple things throughout my life. We'll share my most recent one since the others are a little longer and I would rather call those in. So about a month ago, me and my friend of mine decided to have a few drinks and blast some music in my garage since nobody was home. When we walked into the garage, I found the door that takes you into the house completely open and started getting a weird feeling. A feeling I hadn't felt since my other experiences when I was younger. I did not want to freak my friend out, so I just walked through and told him I was going upstairs to use the restroom since he had not seen the door was open. I remember telling myself that I had run into a burglar. I'd rather run into a burglar and go through that creepy shit again. Went through all the downstairs, checked the windows, doors, they were all locked, so I went upstairs to do the same thing, and they were all locked as well. On my way back downstairs, I noticed that the front door was opened. I instantly got the chills because I had just checked it, and it was locked. Closed the door, went to ask if my friend had opened it. He said no. That's when I told him what was going on. We both went inside to see if anything or anyone was in there, but I found nothing. The whole time we were there, I had a heavy feeling in my gut. We asked if anyone was there, but got no answer. We did not want to pick at it so much, so we said it was best to just go hang out somewhere else. So we walked out through the garage, made sure everything was locked up, made it up to the gate, and we heard the same door open, slam, shut. I did not want to deal with it anymore, so we hauled ass out of there. Nothing's happened since, which is weird because that was the only thing that had happened to me in years. I was expecting it to start up again. Glad it did not start up again, though, but it makes me wonder if whatever was doing that was trying to get us out of there or say something. I don't know. Let me know what your thoughts are on this. Like I said earlier, I've experienced multiple things like stuff being thrown across the room. My brother and others saying they've seen shadow figures around the house and a bunch of weird situations. I can go into better detail when I call the stories in. Anyway, hope you enjoy my story. Look forward to calling in soon. And for now, I'll be listening to the show. Peace. Thoughts on that?
Well, you know, because it's the door, it makes you think, get out of here. I don't want you here. Boom, I just slammed the door so you can hear it again. But then, you know, it could just be something kind of messing with them. Mm-hmm. But it makes me think people like that who experience things, I think it's kind of around all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're more in tune with it than other times. And sometimes it can get through better than other times. Mm-hmm. But that was definitely something.
Yeah.
You know, what message it was, or was it a message at all, or was it just, hey, I'm trying to get your attention?
Yeah, or, I don't know.
You know, you stay in here, I'm going to really mess with you. I don't know. But it just seems like there would be some kind of reason for,
sure,
you know, picking up on that.
No, I think there's an ability there that maybe, you know, gets honed in more and will be easier for them to understand and how to manage it.
And I don't know if you can ever fully understand it,
yeah,
or the reasons for it, because there's no, like, here's the manual.
Sure.
Of what that shit was all about. And, you know, it's just, it's going to always be, the interpretation's going to be up in the air. The fact that something can get through to you is not.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think there's going to be times where things are just always going to be able to get to you.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know? Thank you for sharing that that story with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi, my name is Rosie Grant. I live in Maryland, and I have a ghost story to share. I interned in a cemetery in Washington, D.C., and I personally never thought, I guess I never personally believed in ghost stories as cool as I thought they were. It was very fun. I liked spooky movies and ghost tours, but I just thought it was kind of fun stuff. And a little over 2 years ago, my friends and I would get together every Sunday night, and we would watch a movie and make dinner together. And one night that kind of started it all, this whole thing for us, was we wanted to chit-chat. We hadn't seen each other. We'd, I think, skipped a few dinners. And so we decided to put up the Gwyneth Paltrow show, the Goop channel, and we just had it on in the background. And at one point, one of the episodes that was just playing was about, like, energy passing along, and we were like, oh, that sounds kind of funny. Let's try it ourselves. So we sit in a circle, and we were, like, giggling and everything. We did it a few times, and we were like, okay, like, let's actually, like, pretend to really do this for real. And then we all got quiet for about 60 seconds, and I was the person that was standing in the middle. And I just felt sort of hot. Like, it was, we were all very quiet for a very long time. And we were at my friend's apartment in D.C., and she had two dogs that she was babysitting. The dogs were very chill. They'd been around us for a few hours at that point. And all of a sudden, literally right after like 60 seconds, they both jumped on one of the girls in the group who is a little bit more, like, I'd say, like, spiritually minded. Like, she teaches yoga, and she's, like, connected to things. And they just attacked her, at like barking on her, jumping on her. They didn't bite her or anything like that, but like we're like physically like pushing her against the wall. And we all were like truly startled at this moment. We're like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And we were, as a joke, like just to like try to laugh it off, we were like, oh, it's the Goop demon or whatever. And then we just, that was that. And then she biked home that night and was texting her group, and we were like kind of Googling about this because she's like, guys, like people keep, like dogs keep barking at me. Like, that's so weird. And the next day, she kept like messaging our group being like, seriously, dogs have been barking at me all day. And we're like, oh, ha, like there's some Goop spirits like following you around or something like that. And then I went to a comedy show that night, and my friend first called me, and I couldn't take the call because I was at the show. And so started texting me like, hey, I actually am like scared. I had a dream last night that a woman visited me in my house, and we had this conversation, and I like told her to leave in this dream, and like I like truly actually like felt something, like there was something weird that happened. And while she was texting me the story, I get another call from an unknown number, and a voicemail is left. And so as soon as the comedy show ends, I listen to the voicemail, and it's literally just a woman's voice going, hello, and that's it. And so I'm like, oh, that's weird. And so I was like trying to understand what was going on with my friend. And we're like still texting back and forth. And so I bike home, and I'm also in D.C. And I call her as soon as I get back into my apartment. And I'm like, hey, like, so wait, what happened? And while we're talking, all of the lights in my bedroom turn off. The lights, I have my hair straightener in, hair straightener turns off. Everything turns off in my room except for the TV, and they're all plugged into the same thing. And even to this day, like, the lamp has never been able to turn on since then. Literally everything off. Checked with my roommate. All of his stuff was still on, so it wasn't even, like, a house power outage. It was just all the electronics except for the TV just completely turned off. And so I was like, that's kind of weird. And, but I was like, oh, you know, it's like bad timing. And there was like a storm coming in. And so, then that night I go to sleep and I have this like moment. I like wake up at like 2 a.m. and I look around my room and, you know, nothing's weird. And so I'm like, oh, whatever. And so I go back to bed and then I have this really strange dream where it's almost like I'm in a movie. And in this movie, like I'm looking through this rubble, and it's actually, it's a very strange dream. I was, the Terminator movies, and I was in the newest Terminator movie, it's Natalia Reyes is like young woman and Linda Hamilton's the older woman in the plot. And so I'm Natalia Reyes, like looking through this rubble, looking for the woman, from Linda Hamilton. And suddenly the dream starts to warp and I'm not digging through rubble. I'm in my bedroom and I'm not Natalia Reyes. I'm me. And it isn't Linda Hamilton anymore. It's a woman and we're all in my room and I'm going, what do you want? Like, what do you want? And she just goes, I want to be here in the night. And she leaves immediately. And I wake up hearing the words, like actually like as if someone was right next to me being, I want to be here in the night. Like I'm hearing the words in the night as my bedroom door is physically open. So I like wake up to those words and like as if someone's leaving my room. And I was like, oh my God. I text a friend of mine. I'm like, I think something's in my room. And so I literally get on my bike at like 2:30 in the morning, leave and bike to my friend's house because I was so scared. And so the next day happens and it comes to Friday and I meet at a bar with a bunch of friends. And like, meanwhile, like our whole group had been getting like different like pieces of the two of our stories between the voicemail and our friend getting those visits and then me getting visits. And she is still getting barked at by dogs, like unusually, like she's like biking by and like dogs that she's like known before, like acting strange around her. And so we're trading stories and she tells the story of what had happened to her the night before me. Of this woman visiting her, and I didn't realize this at the time. It was also an old woman, and the conversation that she had was, my friend goes, "I don't want you here in the night," and then the woman leaves. And then the very next night, I have this person visiting me, being, and I in my dream slash waking up, go, "What do you want?" And she's like, "I just want to be here in the night," as she's leaving, essentially being kicked out again. And I still don't know what it is. We haven't been visited by our goop ghost yet. We like called a bunch of friends to be like, who are like, again, much more spiritually minded. And they had told us like, you know, this is your home. Like you can just set some clear boundaries. But I still have the voicemail on my phone. And that's my ghost story. Thank you for listening.
Thoughts on all that?
It's all Gwyneth Paltrow's fault.
I would venture to say that too. That goop shit is
some old lady. Gwyneth Paltrow was visiting them, like Gwyneth Paltrow, way in the future. That was a creepy story. Mm-hmm. Like all of it, because at first it's like, okay, you're like doing your little whatever goop thing they were doing, mm-hmm. and then you know it's like, okay, let's try it for real and exchange energy or whatever that was all about. And then just like dogs are barking. And I thought, yeah, because you're doing something weird, it made the dogs bark. But then other dogs are barking. And then I don't know, it just went on and on. And then they had the same dream.
Yeah.
It was just freaky.
There was a lot of things in there where you can't walk away from going, yeah, I can easily explain that. That makes a lot of sense.
So my takeaway is, I like, if I even see goop mentioned anywhere, I am moving on.
You're out.
Like, if it's in a magazine, if I see it online, like I ever read a magazine. Okay, so say I see it online, I am moving past it.
No goop for you.
None. That evil Gwyneth Paltrow. And if I see her, moving on. I don't want to watch any of her old movies. I don't think she does them anymore. I don't know what she does other than this goop shit. But no, I'm not messing with that.
Yeah, does she do movies anymore?
I don't know. It's been forever.
Yeah, it has been a long time. It's like, it's just funny. Like some of the actors and actresses of the 90s that were huge that you would think would still be around, you know, it's like either they're not doing anything or they did so much. Now it's like, oh, look, another Nicolas Cage straight to, oh, it's not even going to like streaming anymore. What is this? They're putting it like on a VHS? Like nobody's going to use that. Nobody's going to watch it as a VHS. Like, oh, Okay, well, whatever you say.
Well, I wonder about Gwyneth Paltrow, because she was she got connected and intertwined in that whole Harvey Weinstein thing.
Yeah.
So there might have been some.
I wonder if she's just laying low.
Drama there, and then she starts this billion-dollar company.
Yeah.
So it's not like she needs the money.
No, when you're making it on Goop and you don't need to go out and act anymore. Okay, that's cool.
And I always thought it was bizarre. Maybe the old lady has something to do with it. How do you get a company named Goop to be successful?
You be Gwyneth Paltrow.
So did she sell herself out to some old woman ghost? I don't know. That could explain this problem these girls are having.
That is the question.
Just goes to show you, when you get together with your friends, don't do anything Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop suggests. Period.
The new Goop.
End of that story.
Yeah. Use a bottle of Goop as like a planchette on a Ouija board.
Don't. That old lady will visit you.
Let's go to one more call. Hi, you're on the air. Say your story.
Hi, my name's Rebecca. I'm from Virginia. I'm 33. And I have a story to tell. There was a friend that I grew up with named Issa. And I knew him since I was 7 and he was 6. We lost contact during high school. He went to go live with his mother. And a few years ago into my early 20s, I started having memories of him pop up. And I'm just like, okay, that's random, you know, random memories. And then I go to bed and I have a dream where Issa is telling me, hey, I just died. Can you tell my dad that I'm okay? And, you know, I wake up and I'm like, you know, that's a weird dream. I get on Facebook and sure enough, it's all over Facebook that he just died. I didn't tell the dad anything because, you know, who would believe, you know, his son just died. Like, you know, it's just, that was crazy to me. But as life was going on, I'd be driving in my car and I'd feel Issa sitting in the passenger seat. And in my mind's eye, I would get this like vision of him being like, please, you got to contact my dad. Please, you got to contact my dad and tell him I'm okay. And, you know, I kept having dreams where he was like, hey, I'm not dead, but my dad's dead. You know, you need to talk to him. And, you know, this kept going on. So finally, after several months of feeling like Issa's in my car, having these dreams where he's begging me to contact his dad, I finally sent his dad a message on Facebook and tell him about the dreams that I've been having. And the next day, I get an email from his dad saying I was up all night praying for a sign that Issa's okay, and I woke up to your message. So, yeah, that's just a little story. That's not the only time that that's happened to me. You know, I've heard that maybe I might be a psychic medium. I don't know, but in my 20s, I started having, you know, dreams where people were coming in telling me, hey, you know, I just died. Can you tell so-and-so this? But Issa was my first one. All right. Hope you enjoyed the story. You have a wonderful day.
Lesson being, when the dad come to you and ask you to do something, you may want to consider doing it. Yeah.
Well, and I am the girl whose boyfriend came to her and told her to paint a picture for his brother. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Like, I can totally connect with that. Like, I believe it. Like, because I think Doug knew he could get through to me. Mm-hmm. And same with her friend. He knew that he could get through to her and that she's the one that could get that message to his dad. Mm-hmm. And I also get why, because I remember when I called Randy, Doug's brother, and I'm like, okay, this is going to sound crazy. But it wasn't. He had been told by a psychic to wait. There would be a sign. Mm-hmm. And then here I'm calling, going, hey, I got a painting from your brother.
Sure.
But, you know, so I'm really, really glad that, and I wonder, you know, like, would Doug have kept bugging me if I wouldn't have just jumped all over it? Because I did. Like, once I got that feeling, I ran with it.
Sure.
But, or that, I don't know, a message. I don't know. I don't know how it got put in my brain. Like, it was just, you have to do this. And so I'm glad that she listened to that, because that gave so much peace to his dad when he needed it. Because, you know, when we've lost somebody real important, and I can't imagine being a parent losing a child, that would be a constant, I wasn't there, what happened? Like, your brain wouldn't shut off.
Yeah.
And like, I just need a sign that you're okay. That would just consume you. And then to have somebody say, hey, I know this is going to sound crazy, but your son reached out to me. Like, that's your sign.
Yeah, it wouldn't sound that crazy. You know, if someone came to you, be like, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I just think that's a really beautiful thing.
It is.
And a real gift that she gave to the dad.
I agree.
And in turn, probably to his mom or other loved ones.
Sure.
You know? Oh, that one got me.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
It was. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's going to wrap up the show for today. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus material, advanced episodes, and more. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.